A reading from the book of Job. Job said, pity me, O you my friends, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you hound me as though you were divine and insatiably prey upon me? Oh, would that my words were written down, would that they were inscribed in a record, that with an iron chisel and with lead they were cut in a rock forever. But as for me, I know that my vindicator lives, and that he will at last stand forth upon the dust, whom I myself shall see. My own eyes, not others, shall behold him, and from my flesh shall I see God. My inmost being is consumed with longing. Verbum Domini. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living.
I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living.
Hear, O Lord, the sound of my call. Have pity on me and answer me. Of you my heart speaks, you my glad seeks. Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Do not in anger repel your servant. You are my helper. Cast me not off. I believe I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus appointed 72 other disciples, whom he had sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves, carrying no money bag, no sack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the way. And to whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town, the dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town. Verbum Domini. Today, in this gospel passage from Luke's gospel, chapter 10, it's unique to his gospel, the sending out of the 70 or 72 different early manuscripts have a different number there. But we have the sending out of the 12 earlier, which is symbolically the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles are sent out to reunite the 12 tribes, to restore them. Here, the church fathers in different scripture references speak of the 70 or 72 as the universal mission of the church, going out to all nations. We see Jacob's family, when they go to Egypt to escape the famine, they bring 70 members of the family. There was thought to be 70 nations at that time. So it's this, and then throughout the Old Testament, there's hints and prefigurements of this universal mission that Israel's going to have for the world that's fulfilled in Christ. When we read this passage, though, there's this strong sense of urgency. Jesus is evangelizing. He's sending these 72 out in pairs ahead of him to prep the soil, so to speak, to prepare the way for him. He says, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few, so ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. That this urgency to proclaim this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is so important that it's worth having people just solely dedicated to that. Laborers for the harvest, some just purely dedicated to evangelization, to missionary work. Go on your way, he says. I am sending you like lambs among wolves. There will be problems. There will be rejection. The world is in rebellion. Our fallen human nature rebels. There will be problems. But the urgency, again, is to carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. You're not to tarry. You're not to waste time. Greet no one on the way. I know when I leave for a trip, it seems like it's with greater and greater effort, right? You're packing. You're trying to make sure you have everything you possibly could need or want that you can reasonably carry. Well, Jesus says, I don't want you worried about any of that. So take nothing, right? Depend on my providence, on my direction, on the Holy Spirit. Take nothing for the journey, money, sack, or sandals. Rely totally on me. The message is peace. Give peace to this household where you enter a house. If a peaceful person's there, it will rest on him. And that is truly at the heart of the gospel, that we can have peace of reconciliation with God. We're sinners, languishing, suffering in sin. The gospel message is one offered to us of forgiveness, of the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can have God's peace in our heart. You think of Job and his suffering. He says in this passage, it's so beautiful. We hear this in the Messiah, the great hymn, and it says, but as for me, I know that my vindicator lives, and that he will at last stand forth upon the dust, whom I myself shall see, my own eyes, not another, shall behold him, and from my flesh I shall see God. My inmost being is consumed with longing. That's a prefigurement of the resurrection. He's languishing in suffering and extreme loss, I know that my Vindicator lives, the Vindicator, the one who has conquered sin and death. This is the great mystery that we have to bring to others. John Paul II would say that we're more messengers of this than teachers. Messengers. We're bringing the good news of Jesus Christ, not of us, but of Jesus Christ. We're messengers that we've found this great mystery of Christ, who he is, the Son of God, his Paschal mystery. And that urges us on, that he is the pearl of great price. He is the treasure buried in the field. That he is the one in whom alone that we have salvation. You know, Peter would say at Pentecost, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. 1 Timothy, Paul, that God desires all men to be saved, for there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. That God desires all to be saved. So we bring this message out to call people to faith, that we can only find salvation in Jesus Christ, him alone. And if a person is saved by following his conscience, the light he's been given, maybe he hasn't heard the gospel, he can still be saved, but even that person is saved in Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Jesus exhorts them, stay in the same house, eat and drink what is offered to you. Do not move about. You know, don't move around the village for the best deal. Where am I most comfortable? What's in it for me? You know, stay where God puts you. Accept the mission. Work with the people around you. You know, who is around you that needs help, that needs witness. Cure the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. The kingdom of God is at hand for you, for every one of us. Jesus is the kingdom in person. That gathering around him we call the kingdom. We're joined to him in faith and repentance. We belong to him. He's sharing his life to him. It's established by his lifting up on the cross. Pilate calls him the King of the Jews, right? That kingdom is established by that lifting up, inaugurated there. That's the message they're proclaiming with such great urgency. Paul would say, for the love of Christ urges us on. There's this new life that we've been given personally, and it stirs in us. It wants to get out. And I think today, as popes have pointed out, there's an anxiety for it. There's a good, holy restlessness about it, that this life given to us, that we see the world suffering as Job suffers without, you know, see the world suffering without a knowledge of Christ. We're stirred to do something about it. And this proclamation of Christ is the primary service the church can provide to the world. That is number one, right? She exists to evangelize. It's part of her nature. She's missionary by nature. This life we've been given by God, God's life, sanctifying grace, demands, pushes us to reach out to others. As I said, Israel itself, she had an understanding of her universal mission. You know, we see in the Old Testament. That is fulfilled in Christ. So Jesus brings the Father's plan to fulfillment. He proclaims the kingdom and establishes it, frees us, liberates us from evil, from sin and death. He's the realization of the plan, all the preparation of the Old Testament. Paul would say, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Jesus, in the upper room, after his resurrection, would say, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." Rises from the dead, that's one of his first messages. Peace and go. Reach out to others. Share that faith in some way. Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascends to his Father, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We share in the same mission as Jesus Christ. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you have half a brain, yes, we can look at the world and say there's extreme complexity here in evangelization. There's great challenges. But we receive a power from on high. I was struck on the feast there of St. Therese. It spoke of love, and I think it's the closing prayer, the prayer after communion. It spoke of love as a force. I thought that was an interesting combination of words. You don't think of the little way as having this force behind it. That love is this force that drives us. But if we're humble, like children, and we receive this power on high, it's a force in us that drives us. It enables us for the mission. Jesus, at the Great Commission, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." He says, you know, if they reject you in this village, go to the other one. Go to the next one. Just give that message. You're the sower. Just fling that seed wherever you go. There's this urgency about it. In Vatican II, we can see the spirit of that council as trying to equip the church to make that urgency be effective, to make the church more effectively in proclaiming this gospel to the world in a language that they can understand. So very much so, coming out of the council, coming from the upper room, there is this renewed missionary activity that the church is called to evangelize. And as Paul VI would write in his document on evangelization, that she herself is always in need of evangelization. To hear that gospel message again, to be renewed. But certainly today, with the growing secularism, there's a call for a new evangelization, a renewed manner. There's a new anxiety in the church to proclaim the gospel. Because as Benedict XVI, he wrote in a beautiful address about evangelization. He said, there's a growing exclusion of God from people's lives. There's a growing indifference to the Christian faith. There's attempts to marginalize it from the public life. There's a loss of general Christian sensibility. We lose that, even a general sense of Christian sensibility. We lose a reference point that unites a culture. We see such fractioning and chaos today. So yes, it is more complex, perhaps, than in the past, but it's the same mission that needs courage and enthusiasm. Courage and enthusiasm. I've got a picture in my office of St. John Paul II, and one time he was addressing priests, and he said, "I'm counting on your courage." I put that on a post-it note on that picture. "I'm counting on your courage." You know, he says that to the whole church. The whole church has a role to play. And yes, it takes courage. So yes, we have weakness, we have falls, but we need to get up again. We need to begin again with courage. St. Augustine would say that the fount of the grace for evangelization has not been exhausted. That fount that was poured upon the church at Pentecost, it hasn't run out of grace. It's infinite, and it's greater than the world. Benedict would say, in assessing the modern era, part of the things he would say is that Christianity is not a type of clothing to wear in private or in special occasions, but is something living and all-encompassing, able to contain what is good, all that is good in the Christian life. It's able to contain everything that's good in the world. Is we preserve that in our Christian life. So our Christianity is not some kind of cloak we wear at different times. It's how we live. It's all-encompassing. So all are called to involve, not just to be involved, not just apostles, not just a special chosen few, but the laity is called to evangelize. And primarily, the laity does this through a witness of life, showing a detachment from this world. You're not getting caught up in this world as if it's the end all and be all. And a witness through personal holiness. Job has a witness that we meditate even to this day. His perseverance and fidelity and faith in God and his suffering. Lay people especially can witness this. You're close to other people beyond your day-to-day lives. They see what you're doing, how you behave, how you respond. They see faith and perseverance. They see holiness, they see chastity, things that are completely antithetical to the world today. That is an indispensable witness. And the whole life of prayer, there's no conversion without prayer. That we have this solemn duty to pray for the world, to pray for others. This is a source of conversion and evangelization that the lay witness, that the ladies performs. I hear it every day in confession and talking to people. They're desperately praying for family, for loved ones, for friends, for conversion. That affects this font of grace to be flowing upon the world. So everyone has a great mission, a great task to perform. Let us do it with courage and fidelity.